welcome. It's lovely to have you here. It's always grand to welcome a Yorkshire lad.
Well, what a blessing it is to return to Wales. Wow, it's awesome. And again, it's the same as last year. We've been on the Jeff Bland tour. We've been to Cardiff Bay. We've been and laid on parks and seen the hillsides, and it's been wonderful. And my geography has massively improved in terms of the beauty spots of Wales. If you want a tour, then the Jeff Bland tours are available. It's been absolutely wonderful. And thank God we've had the weather as well. But it's really good to be back here. We were here last year. If you were here last year, just raise your hand. Oh, there's quite a few, but then there's also quite a few that are newbies. I love newbies. Praise the Lord, God is good. You know, we, just for those who don't know a little bit about us, we go into prisons throughout this country. We go into women's prisons, we go into men's prisons, and we go into boys' prisons. We go into young offenders. Do you know there's 12-year-old boys are in prison today. 12-year-old boys. In fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm heading down to a prison down in Milton Keynes where 12-year-old boys are kept. That's how sad is that? That is incredible. But you know, we go in there and we give them the good news. The good news of the gospel. That Jesus can change lives. And you know, since we were last with you a year ago, boy, have we seen Jesus change. You know, boy, have we seen the power of the Holy Spirit move in people's lives. And that's what it's all about. It's not about us, it's about letting the Holy Spirit into our lives to interact and to work in those places that need to be challenged and need to be changed. We've all got them, let's be honest. And you know, we live in a world today where change is so needed. You know, change is so needed. You just have to switch on the TV and you see what's going on in Israel. You see what's going on in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. You see what's happening in the Middle East. You see what's happening all over the world. Boy, do we need some good news. But you know, in Psalm 46, we opened it with the scripture at verse 1. It said, God is our refuge. And our strength, always ready to our help in times of trouble. Is there anyone coming here tonight who's in trouble? Is there anyone who's experienced trouble over the last few weeks? Then maybe tonight, as the scripture says, it's time for you to cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. That's what the Bible says. I know that he cares for you because he cares for me. Many of you have heard my testimony, you've heard my trouble. At 1 year old, how I was burnt in a house fire. How I was 65% burns to the body. My feet are partially amputated. I lost the fingers on my left hand. That's what I call trouble. At 15, I was stabbed in a gunfight. Ripped all the way down my arm. Lost the use of my arm for 3 years. That's trouble. At 24, I was a hit and run victim. Left for dead in the middle of the road. Bus skull, fractured femur, bus body. Let me tell you, that's trouble. But you know, Many people know in this church that my life changed. My life changed, even though I was in a mess of trouble, a sea of trouble. My life changed when I answered the call to Jesus. Yes, I'd been in many fires in life. And I know that there's people in here tonight who's experienced some real difficult fires. But you know, the fires that came into my life, they tried to destroy me. But you know, when I answered Jesus' call and I asked Him into a life, I received a fire that set me ablaze for Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the sort of fire you want. Because that's the sort of fire that brings healing. Healing to the heart. Healing to the mind. Healing to the emotions. Healing to your worldview. You see life totally different when you receive the fire of God in your heart. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem until I send you the fire, the Holy Spirit." Friends, sisters, brothers, have you received the fire of God in your hearts? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your life will never be the same again. You will receive the power of God. Do you know, I was in a prison a few months ago, and I was talking to this guy, and he said to me, "Can I share a bit of testimony with you?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead." He said, "Well, I was battling on my bunk bed," he said, "whether to give my life to Jesus or not." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So what did you do?" He said, "Well, I went down and phoned the wife." Funny how we always phone the wife in a desperate situation. Something in that, men. I said, "Right, okay, so what happened then?" He said, "Well, I was talking to her about this battle, and then she said to me, 'Oh, wait, tonight I'm going on a girly night out.'" Have we got any girls who've been on a girly night out here? Not a lot that's got wants to admit it. And she said, "Tonight I'm going on a girly night out." And obviously, after the phone call, he went back to his cell and he was really concerned. And so he was pissed in his cell and eventually he said to me, "What I did?" I said, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, I called out to the Lord and I said, 'Lord, if you're real,'" he said, "'and if you will protect my wife as she goes on this girly night out tonight, if you protect her, I'll give my life to you and follow you for the rest of my days.'" The weekend went. Monday morning came around. He gets on the phone, rings his wife, and obviously the first thing that he says was, "How was Friday night?" And she said, "Well, you'll never believe it." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, we all got to the pub at 7:15. And she said, "All of a sudden, all the lights went out." I said, "Yeah." She said, "So we all went, we got taxis and we headed into town." She said, "But when we got there, we're pitch black. There'd been a power cut. We were back home for 8:15. Praise the Lord. Amen. God had answered his prayer. He got down on his knees and he's now following Jesus. Hallelujah. Joe, even though we go through times of trouble, even though we go through times of testing, if we will cry out to the Lord, the Lord will answer our prayers. He will. The Bible says so. He's not deaf to our prayers. He might not answer them in the way that we want, but he will surely answer them. So we will not fear, even if the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the seas. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Boy, it's difficult, isn't it, when them waters start surging in our life. We try this and we try that. Do you know, I'm so glad that my sister, when she shared the gospel with me, when I was going through a storm in my life, when the waves seemed like 50 foot high. I'm so glad that my sister never attempted to give me a quick fix. To say to me, oh Peter, what you need is a job. Oh Peter, what you need is a girlfriend or an holiday. No. She came in with a gospel. She hit the bullseye. Do you know a friend of mine, an elderly gentleman, gave me a little bit of wonderful advice when I first became a Christian. He said to me, Peter, Christianity is like playing darts. Got any good dart players in here tonight? Got one there, look. He said, first of all, you start it in the door. I mean, mothers, forgive us, mothers, you know, when we hit the door. I always used to hit the door. And then we start it in the board. And as time goes on and we develop in our faith, we start it in the doubles. And as time goes on and again we start to grow and bear fruit, we start to hit the trebles. But you know, as we mature in Christ, as we grow into men of God, women of God, we start to hit the bullseyes. Amen. And I know that there's people in here tonight who were hitting bullseyes. I know that. I've hit a few bullseyes, even as a young Christian. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see the move of the Holy Spirit transforming someone's life. And that's what God wants for us. Yes, He loves us where we... When I got saved, He loved me where I was. Yes, He loved me. He accepted me as I am, as I was. But He loved me so much that He didn't want me to stay as I was. He doesn't want you to stay as you are. God wants to move in your life. Do you know, I was over in Lisburn Baptist Church just a few miles away this morning. And boy, did we see the power of God moving that church. Hallelujah. Boy, did we see the Holy Spirit come down and bring repentance on people's hearts. 8 people surrendered to Jesus. Hallelujah, this morning. Glory to God. Let's give God a praise clap. Hallelujah. But you know, an Indian girl at the end of the service, an Indian girl, she'd not put her hand up. She came up to me and she said, Peter, could I have a word with you? And I said, yes, what is it? And she said, how do I give my life to Jesus? I went, huh? Wow. Can you imagine that? It's like that jailer who in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were praising God and all of a sudden the earth, God caused an earthquake and the doors flew open and the Bible says that their chains fell off and all the prisoners were listening but also the guards were listening too. And one of the guards came up and fell before the knee on his knees and under the power of God, the anointing of God, and he cried out, what must I do to be saved? And you know, Paul said, give your life to Jesus. Repent and be baptized. Wow, can you imagine if people started coming up to us and saying, what must I do to be saved? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? It's tough witnessing in this world today. So today was such a blessing when this girl came up and said, what must I do to be saved? So I said to her, what's happened? Just to find out a bit of background. And she said, well, I had a dream last week. I said, really? I said, what was that about? She said, I had a dream that I was drowning in the ocean. And I was there all alone. And she said, all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. And he reached down and he rescued me and he put me on safe ground, on dry ground. Wow. Jesus is appearing to people in dreams and visions. And especially in other faiths like the Muslim faith and in the Hindu faith, Jesus is appearing to people. Do you know that an elder from the Lisvane church this morning and myself, we led her to Jesus. We led her to Jesus, glory to God. And do you know, I'd only just finished praying with this woman and leading her to the Lord when there's another chap at my back. And I said, yes. He said, can I have a word with you? I said, yes. What is it you'd like to chat about? He said, I'm really envious of you Christians. Really envious? He said, I see something really special in your lives. And I thought, in the back, by the way, the elder had disappeared. So I said to this other guy, go get the elder. And so the elder came back. And praise the Lord. We led this guy to the Lord because we said to him, look, what we've got, Jesus wants to give you. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus has no favorites. What we've got, you can have. And within a few moments, he'd been born again. Hallelujah. God is good. Give him a praise clap. God is good. Do you know when we, whatever we experience, no matter high the mountains, no matter how high the waves are that are coming in our lives, if we will call out to Jesus, he will come and he will rescue us. Amen. In Psalm 107, it says, let me just read a little piece of scripture. It says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. As the Lord redeemed you, then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east, from west, from north, from south. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Let me tell you, a few weeks ago I was in Poland. Have ministry out in Poland. Let me tell you this, we went into churches, we proclaimed the good news of the gospel. We went into streets, we went into prisons in Poland. Just in a short week, we saw over 50 people give their life to Jesus. That's the power of the gospel. People are crying out, they want more. They're not satisfied with this life. Let's be honest, what does this life bring? Yes, it brings short-term pleasures. Short-term. It might bring, you know, it might bring a bit of comfort. Short-term. Jesus is steadfast. You know, yes, tonight there's a World Cup final, course series. It's going to be a good game, and all you football lovers, you know, it'll be awesome. But in a couple of weeks' time, you'll have forgot about that victory. If Germany win 5-0, you'll have forgot about it. You'll have forgot about it. In fact, you know, we always say that with a, what is it, because they beat us, didn't they? They give us a right hammering, but there you go. The thing is that we celebrate an eternal victory. Come on. Glory to God. And no matter what you go through in life, if you will keep steadfast, if you will keep focused on Jesus, then you're going to receive a crown of life. That's what my Bible says. You're going to receive eternal life. You're going to be in the presence. You're going to spend eternity with God. Wow, that's awesome. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And then he rescued them from their distress. Oh, hallelujah. He rescued them from their distress. People are in distress. You know people. You know people who are in distress. You know people who are in trouble. Why not pray and ask the Lord to give you a serendipitous moment, a kairos moment, where you can share your faith with that person? Why not? And then wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to bring about those circumstances where you can share, where you can share your living faith, where you can share how Jesus has changed your life. Let me tell you this, I'm not just the only one who's got a story. Sarah's not the only one who's just got a story. There's many people in here who's got a story. Amen? You know, there's a Latin word, cant mus firmus. This is my story. Isn't there a song that goes, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. You've got a story. God wants to use your life just like He's used my life, just like He's turned my life around. In fact, what's happened to me in the past is somehow working for the positive. It's like my pain is now working for people's gain. That's weird, isn't it? My pain is working for someone's gain. My mess, all that mess I made in my life, is now my message. Let me tell you this, there's freedom in that. When you can make your mess your message, wow, that's liberating. But first you've got to be healed of that mess. First you've got to surrender that mess to Jesus. And when you surrender that mess, you will be cleansed, you'll be healed, you'll be set free. I know that. I mean, you might say, well, Peter, that's all right for you. I never had a problem with drugs. I never had a problem with gambling or immorality or smoking or getting into trouble with the police. No, you didn't. Fair enough, you didn't. But the Bible says, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, brother and sister, you need Jesus just as much as I do. And you might say, well, I feel strong, I feel okay. Well, you still need Jesus. Do you know the strongest man in the world? He won this competition. And he was brought out before all the media, Sky TV, BBC, they were all there. And the reporter said to him, you've just won the strongest man in the world competition. How do you feel? And he replied, it's wonderful to have won the strongest man in the world competition. He said, but let me tell you this. Every day I need Jesus. Every day I need Jesus. No matter how strong we are, we'd be foolish to walk out of this door thinking that we don't need Jesus. Because these waves, these storms, they come and they go and they test us to the very core. You heard Sarah's story this morning. We've been tested even as Christians. And just because when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean to say that the storms will ease or you won't go through any bad situation again in your life. I'm sorry, but that's not the gospel. Jesus said, I will be with you in that trouble. You will have trouble in this world, but take heed, for I have overcome the world. But to go through trouble, to go through a storm with Jesus is kind of a mystery, because you think to myself, hang on a minute, I should be broken apart here, but I'm not. Hang on a minute, I should be in a total wreck here. But I'm wanting to praise God. You know, Paul and Silas in Acts 16, they were chained to a wall. They were in a pitch black dungeon. There were probably rats running around like this. There was water everywhere. It was an awful place. Did they moan? Did they groan? No. They praised. They praised God. They praised the God who they knew that no matter what they went through, no matter what would happen to them, God was in control. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever I'm going through, God is in control. It's tough. Yes, it is tough at times for Christians. It's not easy. We get the news. Sarah shared with you about her cancer. When we got that news, it was heartbreaking. But God was with us. God was with us. God kept us. And I'll be honest with you, my wife has probably shared with you, I don't know if she shared with you this morning, but she was even ready to go with her father, if it was to go with her father. And I know that's strange for some people to get their head round, but the Bible says that heaven is a glorious place. Heaven is a beautiful place. There's no wars in heaven. There's no famine in heaven. There's no pain. There's no deprivation of any kind in heaven. And you know, those that know the Lord are on that glory trail to heaven. And so as we allow God to transform our lives down here, we've got so much to look forward to. Do you know, I was in a conference in Wales, Fenefle, after I left you last year. I went to Fenefle. Have I pronounced that right, Fenefle? No. That's my Yorkshire version of Fenefle. Fenefle, lad. And you know, we were sharing there with 1,000 Koreans. Apparently there was a Welsh missionary. You know more about this than me. A guy called Thomas. In fact, we had a at his house last year. And he went over to North Korea. And he was martyred. Tragically, he was martyred before he could actually carry out his mission. And they stole all his goods and his belongings. They also stole a load of Bibles that he'd taken along with him. But over the weeks and the months, they began to rip the pages out of the Bible, and they began to stick them on the wall. And you know, people started to read these scriptures on the wall, and a mini revival broke out. And you know, since that time, they've been coming over for Fenefle to celebrate this missionary's life. And so I was there, and I shared with them Out of Ashes Ministries, and wow, we had a beautiful time in the Spirit. And as I was walking out, a guy came up to me and said, "I want you in Korea." "Oh, really? Well, that's not bad, is it? Korea? Oh, yeah, pray about that one." It's wonderful, isn't it? Some of these Christians, you know, they come up to you and, you know, yeah, it's wonderful to have a big dream. Dream big. But also pray about it as well. You know, pray about it. Anyway, in just over 4 months' time, we're off to South Korea. Praise the Lord. Sarah and I, we're going to go there for 3 weeks. We're going to go into churches, prisons. We're going to go into schools, and we're going to share the good news of the gospel. You know how God can change your life. You know my life. You know where I come from. I come from that drug-infested council estate back in Halifax, West Yorkshire. A horrible place. You only got out of there in a Black Mariah. That's the only time you got out. In fact, before I'd been a Christian, I'd never been as far as Bradford. But it's true. God has opened up the world for me. You know, my book, Out of the Ashes, came out a couple of years ago. It's doing amazingly well. It's in America, Australia, it's in Canada. It's been translated into French, into Polish, and now Korean. Wow, that's God. That's the power of the gospel working in my life. That's me. The scriptures was read just after the service started. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your act of worship. Do you know, if we only did that, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, wow, the change that we would experience. Do you know, God is an amazing God. He loves to like it says in 1 Samuel 2 verse 8, it's my favourite scripture in the Old Testament. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the scrap heap. Scrap heap. He seats them with princes. And as an inheritance, they inherit a throne of honour. Wow. Do the council estates, do the people on the council estates need to know that message? Wow. What a transformation. If the government would just get hold of that message, what a transformation. The NHS would save millions. The drug addicts would come off the NHS waiting list for treatment. The prison service would be emptied. Whoa! But they're blinded. They're blinded to the truth. And that's why it's up to me and you to pray and to seek God, that God will open the eyes of the blind in this country, in seats of power. King of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's up to you and me. It's up to you and me to be used as vehicles to take away this blindness. Do you know, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was amazing. I went to church for the first time. And as I was walking down the aisle to get prayed for, I heard this song in the background, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, I once was blind, but now I see. When God opens your eyes and your heart to the truth that Jesus is alive, that Jesus died on that cross, but God rose him from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. When that truth is revealed to you, your life will never be the same again. We have got a powerful message, brothers and sisters. We have got a powerful message that if we will allow God to use us, no matter what situation. And sometimes God does call us into strange situations. I was sharing the other day, and I'm sure the guys that were there won't mind me sharing this. I felt the Lord speak to me once I picked up this newspaper, and I looked at this job advertisement, and it said egg picker required. And I thought, egg picker? I thought, dear me, that's a bit of a strange job. Put it to one side. And all of a sudden, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, I want you to apply for that job. Egg picker? Oh, surely that's a flesh. Get thee behind me. A few minutes later, I want you to apply for that job. God wants me to become an egg picker. I've been to Bible college, Lord. I'm an evangelist. You want me to be an egg picker? Lord, I rang the person up, got an interview, gets down there, showed me the egg picking process. I couldn't believe it. Can you imagine? I'm thinking, dear me, what am I doing here? I'm going to become an egg picker for the Lord. I've heard of some jobs in my life, but I've never heard of that. Forgive me if you've got any egg pickers in here tonight. So as the eggs came along, he said, what you do is you pick the eggs up there, you turn around, big job this. He said, you put them there, you weigh them, he said, and you pick them up there and you put them on that crate. And I thought, oh, I could do that. And then I thought, oh, I don't want an egg picking job, what am I on about? But I were there, I knew the Lord had sent me there, but I'm waiting for the Lord to reveal it to me. Anyway, he gets into his office, and the guy's looking at my CV, and all of a sudden he said, hang on a minute. He said, what are you doing? Wanting to be an egg picker? He said, you've got a great CV. He says, you've been to Bible college. He says, you've worked in mental health. You've worked in drug rehabilitation centres. Why on earth would you want to be an egg picker? I just looked at him and I said, well, actually, can I be honest with you, sir? He said, yes. I said, I'm not actually here for the job. I'm here to tell you that God loves you and He's never going to give up on you. God wants to bring you life and God wants to give you life. God will never ever give up chasing you. He loves you that much. That's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you that message. He went, huh? Do you know he burst into tears? He was a backslidden Christian. And do you know I prayed with him and we walked out. He had his arm around me and he was saying, oh, thank you, Peter. Thank you for coming along. But my point is, can you imagine if I'd have turned around in all my pride and said, egg picking? I'm not good. I'm an evangelist. Come off it. What's going on there? Oh, I'm not applying for no egg picking job. Do you know God tests us sometimes? You know, He tests us. He searches us out and He tests us. So when you pick the paper up tomorrow, some of you are going to pick the paper up tomorrow. It might not be an egg picking job, but it might be something that will challenge you. Something that perhaps you're looking at and you think, hang on a minute. You know, God might want to take you down a path that leads to another path. I'm sure it won't be an egg-picking path, but there you go. God is an amazing God. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. That's the Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible, God's ways are not. His thoughts are not. Exactly. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit gives you a dream, when the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, just go with it. Go with the Holy Spirit. And that's how you will see lives change. That's how you will see opportunities come on the horizon. The Bible says, knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will come on. That's it. That's all we have to do. Dream big. Think big. Wonderful to hear about our sister tonight who's dreaming big for the future. God's shown her a vision. Come on, get behind that vision and support her. Amen. Do you know, I had a dream one night. It was incredible. I woke up the next morning and I said to Sarah, I've had a dream. It's of God. I don't get many dreams of God, I'll be honest. But I thought, whoa, this dream is incredible. And it was a bit odd as well, because that also showed me that it was of the Lord. The Lord's dreams sometimes are quite puzzling. And He showed me this flood in this house. But the only thing is that the back garden was flooded, but the front garden wasn't. I don't know how you work that one out, but... And it was, you know, a flooded house. And anyway, it was so impacted on my mind and on my heart. I went to work, and my wife had a bistro at that time, and a chap walked in and, morning, yeah, morning mate, how are you doing? He said, yeah, I'll have a coffee. So I start making in this coffee, and I get, you know, as Yorkshiremen, we like to have a little bit of a chit chat. I said to him, you got a busy day ahead? He said, oh yeah. He said, I'm just heading to Andover. I said, oh yeah. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a flood assessor. He said, there's a house being flooded in Andover. He said, I'm off to assess the damage. I'm making the coffee. Lord. I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, just leave me, because I know this is part of that dream I had last night. Let me tell you this, 5 minutes later, that man was being led to Jesus. Hallelujah. He became a committed Christian. Do you know, he came back a year later and I didn't have time to chat with him because the cafe was busy. But it was, everything was fine. He was in a church and, oh, praise God. You know, next time you have a dream, test it. Test it. Don't just rubbish it and say, you know, God is speaking through dreams and visions. Do you know, I just want to wrap up here. I want to land this thing by just by saying that God has got a plan for this church. And it's wonderful to see that this church is continuing to thrive. Wonderful to hear Pastor Jeff and Chris, about you guys. It's amazing to see that you're carrying on with the message of the gospel. It's wonderful. Believe you me, I go around churches in different parts of this country, and there's some sad stories, but this church, it's going strong. And I hope that when Jeff invites me back next year, we'll see that it's even stronger. God's got a plan for your lives. You know, He can take you from whatever situation you have been. He can turn your life around. He's got a future. It's a bright future, but it involves the gospel. It involves people giving their lives to Jesus. It all centers around salvation for others. It says in Peter, it says God wishes no one to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that's why we're called. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we've all been made anew in Christ Jesus to carry out the plans that God planned long ago. God created plans for you and for me before we were even born. It's time to step into them plans. It's time to take that step of courage. It's time to dream big. And it's time to reach out with the gospel. Yes, we will have setbacks, but God is still in control. Yes, we will go through the fires of life, but God is still in control. Do you know, someone once said that a clay pot sitting in the sun is only a clay pot. Has to go through the fire of a furnace to come out as porcelain. There's porcelain out there. I can see porcelain out there. You've been through the fires of life. I've been through the fires of life. But we've come out as porcelain. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you, as Jeff has encouraged you, to get a copy of Out of Ashes. If you do want to, you know, if you'd consider sponsoring a copy, we take it into prisons, and God is using that book, Out of the Ashes. And just to say, my new book, Out of the Darkest Place, comes out in January, February next year. Keep your eyes out open for that. But can I just pray? Can I invite the band to come back up as we just continue to worship and to give glory to God? Actually, the band are going to lead us right now in a song. Everyone needs compassion. The world needs compassion. The world needs Jesus. Hallelujah. And it needs you and me to go out. The Bible says, how can they receive Jesus if they've not heard? You know, we need to have compassion for a lost and a broken world. You might say, well, Peter, we can't go in prisons. Can't perhaps, but you can support me who can. Amen? Get behind us and support us. I plead with you on that one. Everyone needs compassion.